Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker, stuffing his face with pizza, arguing with his wife. Are you ready to record a podcast?
No, I wish I was stuffing my face. It's like 2 days old pizza crumb she just found.
Oh, I just got home. I hadn't seen my family in 3 days, and my wife had made homemade pizza. I literally just ate an entire pizza.
Well, did we discuss on one of the podcasts that you ate 24-hour non-refrigerated shawarma?
Yeah, that's on the Raiders podcast.
And you're still alive, right? Because I assumed you'd be dead by/hoped you'd be dead by tonight.
Yeah, I don't throw away any food. I thought we were on the same page on this one. If there's moldy food in my fridge, I cut off the mold part and I ate the rest of it.
That's a mental. This is insane.
There's people starving in Africa. There's people starving in Africa, and if I throw food out in America, it'll impact
them. Africa don't want your moldy shawarma.
No, it wasn't moldy. It was delicious.
Well, let's bring our guest in, because anytime we argue, Chester always says, if we ask the all 32 people in the league, I'll win 31-1, even though, he generally lose 30-2 or something.
No, I don't think I'm in the majority in this. Always. No, most people throw food out. Most people are food wasters.
Okay, you agree.
Yeah. Oh, I'm married to one. She loves wasting food. My wife likes nothing more than to eat two bites of something and throw the rest out.
Well, you said that's why you married her.
Yeah. All right. Let's bring on our guest. I'm jealous of our guest. He's in a much better state of mind for doing a podcast than I am right now. Shamir Seidman, our longtime Eagles fan.
Well, I'm on vacation. I also had homemade pizza in our beach house tonight. Looking, feeling good.
From the beach house, recording a podcast. Where is this beach house?
Sure. We are in Southampton, New York.
Oh, sick
Jersey
brag.
Jersey Shore, please.
Sick brag. Kiva. Which, Shamir? Hamptons.
Humble brag.
Yeah. No.
There's nothing humble about it.
It's not a humble brag. You just, there's Whittle's beloved Shalom is rolling over in his grave. That's just a brag, Shamir. Humble was even a dummy like me, can figure out how to have a place in the Southamptons. That's a humble brag. Or I have the smallest house in of all the Southampton mansions. Humble brag. We're in the Hamptons, just a brag.
We're usually in the south of France. This is a step back.
No. Well, that's not even a brag. That wouldn't impress most people. This is an anti-France podcast, so no one would be jealous.
I've never been to France. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, you shouldn't. I was there once. I almost got pickpocketed 4 times. I'll never go back. Shamir, but are you on team? I assume as a Hamptons dweller, you're probably on my team. You would not eat 24-hour-old non-refrigerated shawarma, even if it was the only food you had on your person, right?
Now, that shawarma, fresh off the grill, is trouble for my stomach, so I don't know about
right. Yeah, no, I can't imagine, that must have wrecked your stomach today, Chester.
No, totally fine. Haven't pooped all day.
All right. what about leftovers, Shamir? Are you pro-leftovers or anti-leftovers?
Generally, I'm anti, but I could be.
Talked into it on a
Sunday night, a little Shabbos leftovers.
So we have for people who don't know, we have really big meals Friday night and Saturday day.
Who's we?
The JOOs, and I think there's almost always tons of leftover food, right, guys? So it's in some houses, I'm sure the Chester house, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night, Alex is eating leftovers.
No, it doesn't last past Sunday.
Okay.
But I ate it Saturday night, and it usually doesn't last past Saturday night.
Let me ask you a question that 90% of people, hopefully, don't know what we're talking about. What's your opinion on leftover chullen? You could Google chullen if you know what we're talking about. C-H-U-L-E-N-T.
Why are you having leftover chullen? Why isn't it finished on Saturday?
Well, let's say you make a big pot, but you don't have company or something, but you don't have the small pot. Shamir, do you have any opinion on this?
So historically, I was extremely anti, and then I completely converted about a year ago.
Yeah.
So I'm team microwave your chillin'.
I was just at the house of someone who went to medical school with Chester's half that only takes 2 bites of food and throws it out. And he said he'll eat the leftover chillin' all the way up till the next Thursday.
Who's this?
I don't want to chullent shame on the podcast.
Oh, no, you got to tell me.
It was Dr. Steiner.
Oh, Dr. Steiner. Oh, yeah. Dr. Steiner's not throwing out food. He's on the right side of this one.
No, not throwing out food. Anyway, let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. From, garbage food to garbage team.
All right, well, hold on a second. So you call it a garbage team.
No, I like them. I was just a good...
This is the second biggest disagreement we have. The biggest one we already discussed was the Panthers. Mm-hmm. This is the reverse. I'm really high on the Eagles this year. Speaking of Shamir, really high. Mm-hmm. Number 10, I have him. And Akiva, you have him down at number 19. So big disagreement. Average out to 15th overall in our rankings. And we got an email from Superfan Robbie today. Superfan Robbie, a member of the fantasy league that Shamir and I are both in.
Mm-hmm. The AYFL.
And he's on my side. He says big fan of their rookies, Barnett and Sid Jones, productive in college. They're going to be longtime contributors. So I think Robbie's on my side. Whose side are you on, Shamir? Eagles this year, good or bad?
Eagles are good. We're not quite elite.
Not elite. All right. So is number 10 too high of a ranking for me in the power rankings?
I have to see the whole list, but it does sound a drop high.
Who else is in the league?
The list of the 32 teams in the NFL.
No, your personal rankings. I think it's too high. Yeah, too high for this preseason hype.
So what about 19 that Keeve has it? Is that better?
I'm somewhere in between, probably.
All right. That's fine.
If you go back and roll the tape of my interviews from the last couple of years, I was overly confident. So I'm trying
yes, you are.
Trying to pump the brakes a little this year.
All right, well, let me tell you why I'm very confident in them. First of all, Carson Wentz, the second half of the year, much worse than the first half. For sure, you know, he wasn't as good when defenses adjusted, which is another point that the superfan Robbie made in his email. But I think that second year, he should be improved. They've really got him a lot of weapons. You know, last year, he was throwing to Jordan Matthews. This year, he's got Alshon Jeffery, yep. Torrey Smith. They brought on LeGarrette Blount to run for, you know, 6 inches at a time and fall in the end zone ten times.
I'm already, like, jumping in. I don't think he has a lot of weapons. I love Sproles, so... Like, anytime you have Sproles, you sort of have a lot of weapons because he's a dual threat. But, like, I don't think they have average receiving core.
Alshon Jeffery?
Yeah, and then what? And then Torrey Smith, who's almost out of the league at this point, won't be in the NFL next season. And then...
First of all, Alshon Jeffery has top 10 receiver potential.
Okay, I mean, fantasy more than real life, but fine. And then...
I would argue the other way around.
Nelson Aguilar, you know, is a trash person. Torrey Smith's out of the league. They traded Jordy Matthews, who's a good player. I mean, I think they have at best average weapons. I like their running back depth. You know, Blount and Sproles are obviously a nice pairing, and I don't even hate Wendell Smallwood if he makes the team. But Shamir, chime in here. I don't think this is a special unit. They're going to need a massive upgrade from Wentz.
So Torrey Smith, his last couple of years on San Francisco was comically bad. Pro Football Focus had him as the worst wide receiver in the NFL, but
he's not going to be in the NFL.
He was under a different quarterback. Who's been blackballed for the, you know, by the NFL. I'm not going to say why, but you know, Torrey Smith was his teammate, and you also have Aguilar, who is also flashing like crazy in camp. So you have Smith flashing like crazy. He actually caught a 50-yard touchdown pass tonight. Alshon Jeffery has the track record. These are three improvements over last year. I mean, I'm not going to say Aguilar is an improvement over Matthews, but Matthews was more of a volume kind of very low ceiling player, and you know, they weren't going to extend him to a contract, so they had to get rid of him, and they got a good return for him in Ronald Darby, who's now their number one corner, who has number one corner potential. So I think that was a good trade getting rid of Matthews anyway.
Well, what's your take on Carson Wentz though? What should we expect from him?
I mean. You know, I'm not going to really buy into the hype that I'm seeing, but there was a tweet earlier tonight that there was an NFL GM said he'd rather start a franchise with Wentz over Mariota and Jameis Winston. So there's that kind of hype around him. For everything that I've seen, I was a big fan of him last year. I followed him the offseason.
Can I ask you a question? Was the scout marching in Charlottesville with the tiki last week? Because
it was something .duke was his email. I didn't catch it.
Or maybe he just works for MMQB.
Do you mean .duke or at duke.edu? Same idea.
It was, right, same joke. Poor execution. Anyway, so the arguments, the receiving core also includes Zach Ertz, who you can't really discount, and also a big part of the passing game is Sproles. So, you know, the weapons are there on offense. Wentz is surrounded. He's got... if you look at the splits he had last year with Lane Johnson suspended and Lane Johnson when he was there, the record was good, the passer rating was better, the completion percentage was better. So this team is healthy. They added weapons on offense. I think they have answered a lot of the questions they had going into the offseason, especially one of them was size at running back, and you know, adding Blount to that mix. And they have an undrafted free agent named Corey Clement, who most people were surprised he wasn't drafted in the fifth or sixth round. So he's a guy who's potentially looming if Blount stumbles early in the season, or Smallwood has a bit of an injury history. So I think he's also somebody to keep an eye on.
Where would you rank Wentz if you're ranking the NFL quarterbacks from 1 to 32?
32 first.
Yeah.
I think he's in the top third.
So he's top 10, in other words.
10 or 11.
Wow. So that's.
I mean, are we saying moving forward? Are we saying in the 2017
right,
season?
Right. It's a good question.
We're saying right now.
Not like a franchise dynasty league redraft, but for this year.
Okay, so maybe closer to 14 or 15. Fair.
Not such
that's,
a hot
that's still
take. Yeah,
high.
But okay, it's his quarterback. You can move him up a couple spots.
I don't know anybody outside of Philadelphia who would have him in the top 15.
Who cares? I mean, we're nitpicking a little bit, though. Shamir, I did want to ask you, probably the least favorite person in football for Chester and myself, of anybody related to the NFL, is Mike Lombardi. We both detest him. And for whatever reason that...
I don't detest him. I just think he's bad at his job.
Well, I hate him. He's my least favorite person.
I don't dislike him personally. I think he's a nice guy. He responded to me on Twitter once when I told him he was terrible at his job.
Because sometimes I'll like correct facts that he says and he'll ignore them.
Oh, he says things like, LOL, of course you're a homer, which I wasn't. Like, I wasn't even the Vikings related. I was just pointing out something he had said
anyway,
that was wrong.
Like, Bill Simmons should...
But whatever. The point is he was man enough to respond to me.
The point is we hate him, and he detests Doug Peterson. It's his least favorite person in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, he
and
hates Doug
and
Peterson.
And I'm sure there's an agent thing, or there's some behind the scenes story that's a grudge on Lombardi's part.
I think Bill Belichick told him to.
Obviously it means that Belichick hates him, and it's the same thing oddly for his other second year coach in the division. For the Giants coach also.
Oh, he hates him way more than
no,
he hates
he
Peterson.
Thinks, he talks about him more, but the Giants were a little more relevant last year, especially the second half. But he thinks Peterson is inept. And then Simmons tweeted this week about how bad Peterson is, and like there's no chance the Eagles could be good.
Yeah, because Simmons just hangs out with Lombardi. That's where he gets all his football
like
information.
He gets his football information from Lombardi, and what's his like 23-year-old dude that I'm pretty sure he wants to have children with?
Kevin O'Connor basketball?
No. Tate, his boyfriend, Tate.
College. That's college basketball.
No, but he loves it. Yeah. Anyway.
He's also in love with Kevin Durant. They post the podcast every week, man.
Kevin Durant is like his sidekick on his podcast. Anyway. Yeah. Shamir, Doug Peterson, competent or incompetent? Are you team Kevin Chester or team Mike Lombardi?
He's very vanilla. There's nothing exciting about him. You know, you're not going to get charged up and run behind him when you're coming out of the onto the field. I'm super neutral, but I'm leaning towards anti.
Interesting.
Just because, you know, for the same reason I was so fired up about Chip Kelly is I like a little bit of a different perspective. He's an NFL homer. He worked under Andy Reid. It's very vanilla. It's something that, you know, the West Coast offense, we've all seen it before. But I guess Doug Peterson is the anti-Chip Kelly, so that's probably why he was brought in to begin with.
Do you wish you had Andy Reid back as your coach?
Because
the Chiefs have basically turned into what the Eagles were for the last decade.
Yeah, they just couldn't get over the hump with him. So I was very okay with getting rid of him. I think everyone realized it wasn't because, you know, he was.
But you wouldn't take 11-5 and losing in the playoffs every year for over 7-9 and missing.
You know, Winchester, we've spoken about this before. I'm a big fan of burning it down. I'm a big fan of the Sixers rebuild. So I think you got to do something different. What they did wasn't necessarily different. The Chip Kelly thing was different, and then when they realized that, you know, you can't be that extreme in the NFL, they kind of dialed it back and they went super conservative. So Doug Peterson is like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There's nothing exciting about him, but he's got the job done.
Tell that to Michael Schur.
My concern about Peterson's competence before last year was that he'd only been the O coordinator for Andy Reid, right? Like he just followed Reid to two places. So it's just like pretend his name was like.
But also in that same vein, everyone knows Andy Reid was calling the plays.
Right, he wasn't even calling the plays. Correct. Good point.
Yeah.
And then so now you have 5 years of he's in his 40s still, but you have 5 years of being sort of like a second tier offensive coordinator, and then like. Mm-hmm. If he was competent or not, like there's still a good chance Andy Reid, who has a lot of sway in the league, especially probably still with maybe the Eagles owner,
for sure.
So he gets the gig. So we don't know. And I also think correct me if I'm wrong here, you start 7-9, and a lot of times the first year coach has that weird bump. If they go below 7-9 this year, he's going to be out after 2 years, right?
For sure. I think there's a short leash there, but I also think that one of the reasons he was brought in is because he has a history of being around quarterback-friendly systems. He was a mentor to Brett Favre. He was a mentor to Donovan McNabb. He worked under Andy Reid's staff. So with the young quarterback, they brought him in, and they also brought in Frank Reich, who's a former quarterback. So I think they wanted to surround Wentz with good foundational knowledge, good quarterbacking pedigree coaching, as opposed to a defensive-minded coach with a rookie quarterback. I think that's what they were kind of leaning towards when they hired him. So that's
Shamir. So that's Chester, we were talking about the skill position players before. We've discussed Wentz. I wanted to talk about the O-line and the defense because when you were thinking about this team and you do think about the offensive line, and you think about the skill position players, but like as the line is getting worse, as the skill position players maybe dipped a little bit, in my opinion, this offseason, or really
on,
the Peterson era, make that. You have five players that I would consider that basically had elite top 100 Pro Football Focus seasons last year on the O-line and the front seven, which is pretty good.
Yep.
That's 5 out of 12 were essentially.
Are you including guys they added this offseason, like Jernigan?
Including guys who were from the team last season. That's true.
Right. So they added another player from that top 100 list at tackle. Jernigan from Baltimore. He was a guy that they, for some reason, they weren't going to extend, so they traded him for a third rounder. Eagles lost Benny Logan in the offseason, so they replaced him with Jernigan. They added Derek Barnett at number 15 in the draft, and he's an elite pass rusher. You know, obviously, you know, I love reading this stuff, but there were a lot of metrics that had him as a higher rated pass rusher than Myles Garrett, and the production levels were much higher in college than Garrett's were. So, you know, to get him at 15 is good, and he's flashed really well in the preseason. They added Chris Long from the Patriots, and they switched. They got rid of Connor Barwin, who was miscast in a 4-3 end, and he wasn't getting any pressure on the quarterback. So they should be getting a lot more front seven pressure with no blitzing to give the secondary a little bit more room to maneuver. And Jim Schwartz, at defensive coordinator, has a history of producing with just a front seven.
But hold on. Let's talk about the secondary for a second, because you got rid of all your cornerbacks. Leotis McKelvin gone. Nolan Carroll gone.
Yes, yes. So until the Jordan Matthews trade, like I mentioned earlier, they had an extremely, extremely poor corners. They had Patrick Robinson, who was a retread from the Saints and the Colts and a couple of different places. And then they had a seventh-round rookie on the left side, Jalen Mills, starting. And they had Ron Brooks, who was a former Buffalo Bill who knew Jim Schwartz's system and is only there because he knows Jim Schwartz's system in the slot. So after the first couple of preseason games, it was very apparent that the corners were not going to hold up at all this season, especially in the division that they're in, but the receivers that are in that division. So they traded Matthews for Darby from Buffalo, who was stepped in and has looked very well. He looked good again tonight, and he looked good last week against Buffalo. So he's the new starter. Mills on the left side, and they added Corey Graham at safety, and they're having Ron Brooks. You know, I think that it's a very mediocre, but it's much better than
Brandon Graham. Shamir, is he the most underrated player in football, or did he have a career year last year?
He is extremely underrated because the only way to really look at a player from a standard perspective is sack production. The sack production wasn't there, but the
right.
Every
advanced
other peripheral
stats
stat there was there.
83 hurries, which is over 5 a game.
Yeah.
He pressured Dak 11 times in one game, and that's against the best offensive line basically of the decade.
Mm-hmm. Very disruptive player. He's in the backfield every time. He's the one forcing the quarterbacks to step up into the pocket, into the Fletcher Coxes of the world coming up the middle. He was extremely active on the run. He's a very intimidating pass rusher. And I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves. Only among the stat heads is he respected.
Pressures and knockdowns, which he had 17 or 18 of, are stats that like we didn't know anything about a couple years ago. But like, I also think knockdowns sometimes I'm amazing at getting past the offensive lineman, but I'm like one tenth of a second too slow to get the sack.
Yeah, but you know that you know how many times. Is
oh
the
no, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm just that, saying, you know, like, I always think, like, oh, he's a guy who has a million knockdowns but very few sacks, like Graham. Maybe it's like he's like super at getting past the linemen, but not speedy.
So maybe that's the short arms thing, but you know.
All right, Shamir, let's play America's favorite game here, and then I think we're gonna do roster and schedule with Shamir.
Yep.
We're having a good time, Chester.
Yeah.
So you know what America's favorite game is, Shamir? Yes.
Name that random
roster game.
Bottom
so
of the roster
between
player.
0 and 100.
I'll 27. Go 27.
Okay, Shamir, tell me everything you know about Isaac Sumalo.
He's one of the projected offensive
guards
to start. He's a starter. I think he went to Utah. I assume he's some sort of a
he's from Honolulu,
South Pacific Island.
He went to Oregon State, but he is from a Pacific Island.
Yeah, And he's the projected starter at guard. He was a probably late round pick last year. He played well enough the last couple of seasons in spot duty, you know, because there were a couple of games that Brandon Brooks missed last year, a couple of games that people missed last year. He played a decent amount. And the Eagles have been trading a lot of their offensive line depth to give this guy a full-time job. So he's
all right, Chester, he's are you not ready for the roster game?
We just played the roster game. Yeah, I'm ready. No, I'm not the one doing it.
I played this game myself earlier tonight, so I'm ready.
Takes 30 seconds to make each pick.
I didn't want, like last year, the second you sprung it on me, I'm like, oh,
podcast now, Alex.
I'm a recurring guest.
Our Packers fan already emailed me. He's got a whole bunch of his own bits.
Do you have any bits, Shamir? Do you have like a sketch you want us to do or something? All right, Chester, can you read the schedule, Shamir?
Maybe a dance. All right, Shamir, you start on a. That's a preseason game. Sorry.
They do start with the preseason games, but they're starting at Washington.
All right, next Thursday, you're playing at the Jets. All right, yeah. Week one, Sunday, September 10th, at Washington.
At Washington. I think big statement win, national television. Not national big television, win. But a divisional game should be good. Win on the road.
All right, the next week, another road game at Andy Reid and the Chiefs.
That is a big L.
It's an L. All right, 1-1, come home, face the hated Giants.
Home against the Giants, I like that win, 2-1. 2-1.
All right, and then on the road at the Los Angeles Chargers.
So the first time I played this game by myself, I read that as the Los Angeles Clippers, and it took me a while to realize.
Yeah, that LAC is confusing.
There is an LAC. So that is I'm going to give that a loss. It's a traveling way across the country against a Phillip Rivers offense that should be able to outscore them.
Listen, those diehard Los Angeles Chargers fans. By the way, I'm actually happy that it's not the Rams and the Raiders like it used to be, because having two LAR teams is always annoying. You couldn't even say LARA because they were both that, so you'd basically have to say LARAM and LARAI. It was very annoying. So I'm glad the Chargers are there, not the Raiders. All right, 2-2, back home, facing the Arizona Cardinals.
That's a win. Cardinals all right. Traveling across the country.
All right, and then you're going at Carolina the next week. On short week, actually, only 4 days later, Thursday night.
Yeah, that's a loss. Carolina's tough on the road.
Right. So 3-3, you're home to face Washington. You've already beat them once. It's Monday Night Football.
I'm going for the sweep.
Oh, sweeps Washington, 4-3, and then you're home again for San Francisco. That's
5-3.
Yeah, and then you're home for the Broncos.
I think that could be a home loss.
Okay, so 5-4.
Yeah.
Now you get a bye, and after the bye, you're facing the Cowboys in Dallas.
Yeah, that's a loss also.
All right, so you drop to 5-5. Approaching Thanksgiving, still in the playoff race, but you need to have a little run in December. You start with the Bears to end November.
That's a win.
Yeah, so that's easy. So 6-5, and then it gets really hard in December because you got a long road trip at Seattle on Sunday night.
That's a loss.
So that's 6-6, and now at the Rams.
At the Rams is a win.
Okay, 7-6, and then at the Giants.
That's a loss.
All right, so 7-7. You know, maybe still in the wild card race, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
at home against the Raiders on Christmas.
Win against the Raiders. I think the Raiders are probably locked up home field there, so they're not. I don't know if they're going
to. Oh, you think the Raiders are locked up home field with two games to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I assume you locked into the two seed, or you think they're beating the Patriots?
Well, they had the home seed last year, and I think they're better. So that's just kind of where.
No, last year the Raiders were a wild card. They didn't even win their division.
They don't play.
They went 12-4, but they lost the tiebreaker to the Chiefs.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So you're 8-7, and then you finish the season at home against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm going with the 9-7 record.
Okay, so 9-7. Does 9-7 make the playoffs?
9-7. I think there should be 2 9-7 teams in the division, and the division winner should be 10-6. So I think that's not enough. Well, I think one of those two teams can make it, but I don't know who it's going to be. That's why I'm picking the Eagles, but it could be. It's the Giants up there and the Cowboys up there with a 10-6, 9-7 cluster.
All right, so you have the over under at 8.5, and you're leaning towards the over, but you're not that confident.
No, because I think that either of those LA games, they could win against the Chargers, they could win against Denver at home, they could easily be 10-6. I'm just trying to not overthink this, because they're not an elite team, and there's some elite defenses coming across the country, and I think this is a borderline playoff team.
All right, and Keith, what do you say with that over under 8.5?
We're trying to figure out who's going to win the NFC East. We've sort of been unsuccessful so far. We're talking to the Giants guy soon, unless that podcast has already happened. Gun to my head, I'm saying 8-8, but obviously they could go 9-7 or 10-6 easily. It's a stay away for me, but if you're making me make a pick, I'm going to say that with a good front seven and a good O-line, 9-7. Over.
You have them 19 in your power rankings. Yeah, you have them 19 in your power rankings. They're going to be 9-7.
They're not winning more than, you know.
All right. Here comes the Chester lock. The Philadelphia Eagles are winning their division this year. They will win the NFC East. They will host the playoff game. They're going 10-6.
We're
going
to trash Mike Lombardi so hard.
Yeah. That's my honestly, I was going through it this year. I didn't really have any, you know, I was very chalky, as they say. And I said, I need a division. You know what? That division, anybody can win. And I'm taking the Eagles. I think that we know what we're getting from every other quarterback in that division. Well, I mean, Dak, I guess you never know if the year one was a fluke.
Yeah,
I think Carson Wentz has a chance to really emerge here. I really like what the weapons they've added. I'm a big fan of Alshon Jeffrey, if he can stay healthy and unsuspended, which is a big if. You know, I really like their front seven. A little concerned about their secondary, but I'm giving the Eagles 10-6. I think the Giants fall back to the pack. I think the Cowboys are massive regression candidate. And that's it. Eagles 10-6 winning the division.
I love it.
And actually, that probably means there's a good chance they could host the Vikings in the first round if that's a 4-5 matchup. But
the Sam Bradford Bowl.
Sam Bradford comes back to Philadelphia. How many games did he play in Philadelphia? Like 12?
No, he played the full season. Oh, no, he missed one game. He played 15 games.
Oh, okay, 15. All right, not bad for him. All right, Keith, you have anything else for Shamir?
You did a good job, Shamir. Thanks so much. Chester thinks we're going to be talking to you in January. I'm not so sure, but we'll see.
Shamir, you got any plugs?
Hair Club for Men.
Yeah.
Lisa Mattresses. ZipRecruiter.
Yep. Okay. What code do we put in? Do we put in Shamir? Shamir. Or do we put in Tony the Hippo? Your Twitter handle.
Follow at Twitter handle Tony the Hippo. Get 10% off your first order.
Okay. All right, Shamir. Terrible luck to your fantasy team this year, but good luck to the Eagles.
You
I like
an insane Chester. People like these. Do you have an insane Chester being a commissioner of your league story that you could tell in a minute or less?
How about the Kaepernick Hernandez trade?
Has the chest blog story? So I think this was going.
By the way,
back,
can I break news about the chest blog?
At least 10 years.
You know that, Alex? Yeah. Do you know this? That the like, if you go, there's a site where you can find old frozen websites from the internet. So do you know that I like scraped the whole chest blog, and I'm going to start posting it in the 32 Fans Facebook group. Yeah, so I scraped it,
like,
so I'm
going to
start posting
actually
next week when I get back to out of this forsaken state. I'm going to start posting it. So yeah, now tell your story, Shamir.
So Chester determined arbitrarily that the Yahoo scheduling and the Yahoo waivers procedures on the website were not efficient and not accurate and unfair to a small segment or percentage of the league. So he came up with what he believed to be a better system of scheduling and waivers, and we had alternate schedules that you need to check the blog to see the actual record of your team. But if you looked at Yahoo, you had two different records, and you had to ignore what you write on the Yahoo page. And then you would say, oh, I'm 5-2. Then you'd be like, incorrect. Check the blog. You're 2-3.
Yeah, well, trust me. The league we're in now, Shamir, we have the website. Like, you're not even allowed on the ESPN website. That's just where you set your roster. We're playing every single person's playing every other person in the league every week.
There were so many arguments about people who refused to check the blog.
Yeah, Chester doesn't realize, like, he thinks that Chester, the smartest, it, like, he doesn't have any, like, populist sentiment. Like, he doesn't care that, like, no one's going to check the document that he makes, that half the people in the league will never know if they have a winning record or a losing record.
Well, I don't want people like that in my league.
Literally,
it's a high threshold to get
you
it.
Want
you know
10
that.
Chesters in your league, and that's why you have so many sons.
Shamir has been in this league since its inception and is the only original league member to have never
won
a title.
I'm rooting for you this year, okay?
I win titles everywhere I go.
You're like Andy Reid. Are you always
beyond
in the finals?
Cursed.
Oh, he had one year where he was far and away the best team in the league, like, and he had an epic collapse in the playoffs.
Stuff, but, if Chester does anything insane this year, hit us up. Well,
hold on. Shamir didn't tell the story, but one year the trade deadline was. It was set at noon on November 10th or whatever, for example, right? But Yahoo, like, doesn't really have the same features, or Yahoo's on the West Coast, so you could technically send a trade through on Yahoo, but the official deadline had passed. And 1 minute, literally 1 minute after the trade deadline, Shamir made a trade in our league. It was Aaron Hernandez for Colin Kaepernick. This was Colin Kaepernick's rookie season where he was a nothing and Aaron Hernandez mm-hmm. was, you know, a superstar tight end. The next year, Colin Kaepernick becomes one of the best players in football and Aaron Hernandez becomes a double yep. murderer.
And
who would have thought that 3 years later, Aaron Hernandez is just as banned from the NFL as Colin Kaepernick. One of them for, his First Amendment rights and the other one for, he's dead now, I guess. But
and we're filming this podcast just 24 hours after Chester attended the Colin Kaepernick rally in New York City.
Well, the counter protest.
So wait, Shamir, which side of that trade were you on? I forget.
I got Kaepernick, I think.
You would have gotten Kaepernick.
I would have gotten Kaepernick. Yeah.
So you got screwed by the trade not going through.
Correct. I needed a
quarterback. Ayers got saved.
The quarterback for the stretch run, and then Kaepernick became the starter late in that season. They went to the Super Bowl that year, remember?
Yeah, well, no, they went to the Super Bowl. They went to the Super Bowl his first year as a starter or his second year?
I just remember, like, late in the season, he was, like, running like a maniac. I remember.
Yeah.
That. It was, like, every game was 100 yards and touchdown rushing.
Yeah.
But, Shamir, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Shamir.
See ya.
I will see you on Sunday, Shamir.
See ya. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table. But you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no young. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is one. World all alone. Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the nighttime from the day. It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let somebody love you.
Let somebody love you.
You better let somebody love you before it's too late.